Well, good morning. I got a little bit of a fright there. I had to leave the room for a few moments, let's just say to make sure that we could get through the sermon. And I came in and I thought Andy had just ditched the sermon, you know, that the service was over and tea and coffee was being served. But I'm glad that that's not the case. It was sports day this week at Elric Primary School, as I'm sure lots of other primary schools as well. Is there a little ring on my voice? Yeah, maybe just pull down the gain a bit, Craig. Thanks, good man. Big thanks to Craig and Janet for their ministry this morning. It was sports day this week, and the day before sports day, I was chatting with Bethany, and as part of that conversation, I uttered those important words that many parents have uttered to their children, I'm sure. It doesn't matter if you win or not, as long as you try your best. Now, I'm sure most parents have said those words. I'm sure some other parents take a different tack, and they're like, no, you have to win. But for me, those were important words for me growing up, you see, because I am someone who did not win much, if anything, at sports days. So I had to cling on to those words, and they're important words. They are important words because not everyone is going to be the best at something. Not everyone is going to be able to win. But they can come with the right attitude, they can try hard, they can do their best. And these are important words for us this morning as we turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. thanks. Because I want to set up this morning's message with a quote from J.C. Ryle, who you've heard me quote a number of times, and you will do, 19th century Bishop of Liverpool, who wrote a number of sermons and notes on the Gospel of Luke. And he said, as he reflected on this passage today, this is what he said: "It should never be forgotten that there must not only be good preaching, but good hearing. It must never be forgotten that there must not only be good preaching, but good hearing." I wonder, do you think of this time like that, the time around God's Word, that yes, I have a job to do, and what God has called me to do, to hopefully share and explain His Word. I have a job to do, but guess what? So do you have a job to do. And as we think about that, it made me think about sports day, because the important thing is that we both, all of us here together, that we try our best. That we try our best. I am not the best preacher in the world. I'm not the best preacher in Aberdeen by a long shot. And, you know, for you, you may well not be the best listener. Some of you, perhaps, might be eager to hear this message today. You're just in a good place spiritually. Perhaps your personality lends itself to, you enjoy hearing a sermon and getting engaged with the text and figuring out. Maybe for some of you, you're eager to hear the message from God's Word today. But I suspect for many of us, you're not eager for this time. Perhaps because of your personality type. You struggle a little bit with a kind of a presentation like this. Or perhaps your current spiritual climate. Or perhaps the amount of sleep that you got last night. Perhaps the levels of stress in your life. And actually the idea of coming to a sermon is a difficult thing. So friends, what we all have to do is we have to come to this time and we do our best. We do our best. I will try each week, and they will try each week, to do our best and be faithful to God's Word and to prepare and to share what God's laid on our heart. And my encouragement to you is to do the same. You try each week to do your best. So we come, we do our best, and also, importantly, we pray for help. We pray for, every week we pray for myself, for Andy, whoever is preaching. We ask that God would inspire us and anoint us, that it wouldn't just be a presentation, it wouldn't just be a good talk, well crafted, but that the Spirit of God would breathe on the words that are being said, that He would make the words from the Scriptures real to us and apply them in a very real way. We pray for us and we pray for you. What do we pray? We often pray, Father God, give us ears to hear what You're saying. And maybe you think, what on earth is that phrase all about? Is that just another one of those Christian phrases? Well, no. We're going to see today. It's right there in verse 8. Jesus cries out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Because, as J.C. Ryle said, it should never be forgotten. There must not only be good preaching, but good hearing. And that's what this text is all about. So let's read it together. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. And the ones in the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. That's going to be a key phrase. Jesus says, take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Let's pray. Father God, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things in your word. Give us ears to hear what you're saying to us now by your Spirit. And help me, Father, I pray. Keep me from error. Keep me faithful to your word. And be glorified in this time as we worship you, as we lay our lives before you, as we surrender to you. Would you be pleased with our offering of worship now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is teaching the crowd that has gathered, and as he often did, he's using a parable. If you don't know what a parable is, it's just a story that has a meaning intended off the end of it. And he uses a very familiar picture for the people of that day of a farmer sowing seed. Jesus was a great communicator. He spoke in ways that made sense to the people that gathered around. This image of a farmer sowing seed would have been a familiar one to them. And that's the image that Jesus chooses. And unlike many of Jesus' parables, this one in this passage, as we've just heard, it's clearly explained for us, which is great, right? In verses 4 to 8, Jesus tells the parable, and then the disciples say, "What does it mean?" To which we should say, "Thanks, guys, because that's a good help to us." And Jesus then explains what the parable is about in verses 11 to 15. And it's very clear. It's not a difficult parable to kind of understand. It's very clear from verse 5 and 11 what this is about. Verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. And then it goes on to speak about how that seed lands. And then Jesus interprets that in verse 11, well, the seed is the word of God. So someone is sowing the word of God. And Jesus isn't talking about throwing little Bibles out at people. They didn't have Bibles in that day. He's talking about the preaching and the hearing of God's word. And especially the hearing. This parable is known, in my little title of my Bible, it says, the parable of the sower. But actually, it's not mainly about the sower. It's mainly about the way that the seed is sown and the ground that it lands on. It's not about the preacher or the style of preaching, but it's mainly about the soil. The parable should be known as the parable of the soils. And it's about the different ways that people can respond to God's word. And Jesus makes this clear in verse 8 that it's about hearing and responding, because he tells the parable and then he cries out, calls out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is a phrase that Jesus used a lot to call people to a certain type of listening, a certain embrace of God's word. Jesus is saying something important here. Having ears, physical little ears on the side of our head, is not enough. It's not enough just coming here and hearing sound waves go into your head that would then vibrate and send a signal to your brain. That's not enough. That's not what hearing truly is. Now, we know something of this dynamic in an emotional, relational context. You know when you're speaking to someone and they're kind of nodding along, but it's clear that they're not there? They're not paying any attention? Any spouses willing to admit that they've had a couple of issues around that topic? Yeah, well, that can also happen in a spiritual sense as well. That's the point of this parable. You will all hear my voice this morning, especially if from time to time I shout to wake you up. If you have fallen into a slumber, and you'll all hear my voice, and I have a responsibility to try and be faithful to God's word, but you also have a responsibility to not just sit by passively and let these sound waves go in, but you have a responsibility to hear. We will all hear my voice, but we may not all truly hear God's word. We may all listen to the sounds, but we may not all truly hear what God is saying. And there are four different types of soil that Jesus mentioned, four different ways that we can hear and respond to the word of God. And we're going to look at them one by one. But before we do, we need to ask, to what end? What is Jesus' motivation in sharing this parable and mentioning these four different responses? Is it just so that we can self-diagnose and self-evaluate and look back and go, oh yeah, okay, over the last number of months or years, that's the kind of soil I am. And it's maybe not a great report. So, woe is me. Nothing can be done. Let's just go home depressed. No. That's not what Jesus' point is. Because Jesus, it's very clear, he wants us to take action. Verse 8 is a call to action. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is yearning to the people there. Don't just listen, be a hearing people. And we see it again in verse 18. Jesus closes this parable with another heartfelt request. Take care then how you hear. So here's the different ways that the word of God can land on you. Here's the different ways that you can respond. But don't just hear that and kind of get depressed about maybe some negative ways that you've responded in the past. Jesus says, no, I want you to do something. I'm telling you this so that you can change the way you hear. Take care. Take care then how you hear. I don't know if you ever thought about this. You know, do you kind of sit passively by when we come to the sermon or when we come to your time of, you know, personal devotional time around God's word? Or do you know that you have something to do? Take care, friends, how you hear. That's Jesus' challenge to us as he shares these four types of soil, four ways of hearing. The first one, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And then Jesus, it makes clear what this is about. The ones along the path, verse 12, the ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. This is people who hear God's word and it has zero impact on them. The devil just swoops in and snatches it away. It can't take root in their heart. It can't make any meaningful connection. They hear sounds and it's gone. And there's zero change, zero impact, zero moving towards God. The devil does it. And friends, we need to realize That there is a spiritual battle going on when we gather together like this. When we come around God's Word. Let's not be naive to the reality of what is going on at this moment. As the living and breathing, perfect, holy Word of God goes forth, the devil's not happy about it. And there's a battle going on, and he seeks to snatch that Word before it can even have any impact whatsoever. Satan is doing everything he can to snatch it away. And there's two ways that he does it. Do you see there from the parable? It talks about trampling. The seed was trampled underfoot. The devil is at work trampling on God's Word. So God's Word goes forth and he tramples it. He wants to make a mockery of it, make nothing of it. Little voices pop up in your head. That point doesn't add up. Yeah, that's different to what someone else said a week ago. Yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but this is all so fanciful. Don't they know how intolerant the Bible is? Jesus? What a joke. These little words, these little phrases can creep into our minds, trampling the seed that's underfoot. The devil tries to make a mockery of the Bible. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Or, back to verse 5, it's trampled underfoot and the birds of the air devoured it. As with birds who just swoop in and devour the seed, the devil is at work just bringing God's Word to nothing. It's not being trampled, but it's just being taken away. It's just being made as nothing. A kernel of truth may land for a moment, but immediately it's just snatched away. I wonder what's for dinner. You know, you hear something in a sermon, and before you know it, 2 seconds later, you're wondering what's going on this afternoon. I still can't believe what my wife said to me this morning. That's not a personal testimony, just for the record. Wow, what a great time we had last night. What a laugh we had last night. I wonder how England are getting on against New Zealand in the cricket right now. I hope this sermon finishes soon because Serena Williams is playing in the French Open this afternoon. The word lands and it's just snatched away. And you hear a message and you perhaps enjoy or put up with a time of coffee and tea after the service and you just want to get out, you want to get home, and you want to get back to that which truly brings you life. So you think for a time. That which truly inspires you, fires you up. The seed is sown, it's just trampled or it's just snatched away. The Word of God has just bounced off you. And to you, friends, with Jesus I plead, take care how you hear. Don't hear like that. Take care how you hear. Secondly, the rocky soil. Verse 6. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Jesus interprets that in verse 13. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. But they have no root. These have no root. They believe for a while and in a time of testing fall away. This time, the Bible, the message, the sermon falls on them, lands on them, and it isn't trampled or snatched away, but it lands and it is received. And we need to be so careful here because do you hear how it's received? It's received with joy, which would seem very encouraging. Oh, wow, I'm really enjoying Hillview at the moment. Oh, these songs recently, wasn't that great to sing the Old Rugged Cross? Wow, that was wonderful. Wow, the sermon was really good last week. That guy, Bruce Main, he preached fantastic. Things are good at the moment. There's a sense of receiving it with joy, but it has not taken root. It's not grounded anywhere. This seeming faith has been a surface matter. And why? Because it's been able to. Because everything's been going well. So, you know, there's no problem here. But because it's just on a surface level, what happens is a storm comes in and there's no roots. It's not connected anywhere solid. And the storm comes and it's blown away. It's a goner. What's he talking about? He's talking about things like when an illness hits. When finances fall apart. When a child rebels. When an injustice occurs, and immediately in that moment, the sort of sense of joy that you've had about faith, about God's word, turns to blame. And God is at fault for whatever has come into your life. How could God let that happen to me? And perhaps over time, or perhaps in an instant, that faith, that seed that was sown, it's got no root and it just disappears. It withers away. And I plead with Jesus, take care how you hear. Are you hearing like that? Is it just at a surface level? Thirdly, thorns. Verse 7. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. Verse 14. As for what fell among thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Again, this time, the word lands and it is received. It even takes root and it begins to grow. But as it grows, something else is growing alongside it. Thorns are growing beside it. And as those thorns are allowed to grow, eventually they take over and faith cannot thrive. And look this time at how the life of faith was choked. Do you see that the last time, the last example Jesus used, the seed was killed because of trials. But this time it's very different. This time it's pleasures of life that are the problem. Verse 14, the cares and riches and pleasures of life is what leads to this sense of the word of God, the seed that has been sown. It just ends up not being able to mature and bear fruit like it should. What a danger this is for us. What a danger this is for us, that the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life just crowd out that which God is trying to do. The idolatry that we are faced with day in, day out. What is it for you? Things like the desire for financial abundance, the love of money, the sense of just being drawn into the TV routine that we want, the kind of shows that we want to watch when we want to watch them, the perfect house with the perfect decor and the perfect area with the perfect cars outside, the career ambition that takes over, that chokes out family time, that chokes out time with God, that chokes out time to serve God in His work. Brother or sister, if you have a job that consistently over the course of months or years has left you zero time for family or for God, leave your job. Find a different job. Because it's just going to choke the